Let's share today's Bible verse. Today's title is The Purpose of Salvation. And open your Bible, letters to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Let's read letter to the Ephesians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he does us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. This morning, I would like to explore the thoughts of God the Father in the Bible verse we just read, especially in verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. In the previous message, we have seen that the salvation that has been given to us is not a result of our will or our desire. The salvation that has been given to us is a result of God's will. We have never sought God first, and we have never willed to obey God first. We lived in a place where we did not know God, where we became God Himself, and where we pursued only our own happiness. Looking back at our former selves, none of us could have imagined that we would voluntarily and willingly come out to worship the Triune God at this time on Sunday morning. If we had the time, we would have spent it on ourselves. But God, in his eternal compassion, mercy, and grace, has been following us since before the world was created, leading us to the place where we can confess who we really are and transforming us into those who surrender before his grace and his call. We are here now, not by our own decision, but because of God's willful choices and the result of that will. And that choice of God's total will has a purpose. That purpose is what verse 4 says. Be holy and blameless in his sight in love. This verse shows God's will. The verse doesn't mean that the finished product will fall from heaven at the touch of a button, but it also implies that there is a gradual process of time. The salvation given to us is that we are forgiven of our sins through salvation, and our status is changed from that of wicked person who was destined to perish to that of a child of God. But it also means that we are put into the process of developing a glorious character and personality that reaches the stature of the Lord Jesus, who is worthy of the Son of God, and that we are moving toward the completion of this process. In Philippians chapter 2, we read, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life." The salvation that has been given to us does not automatically swell up and fill us up if we lean on the status that has been given to us and has made us the children of God. The Bible compares this process of salvation to that of a newly born baby who grown up experiencing various things, not only good things and joyful things, but also bad things, painful things, and suffering things. And this attainment of salvation is described in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 as to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. However, as you may have already guessed, this process of becoming holy and without blemish is not an easy one. It requires a great deal of determination. It is not our resolve. It is God's determination. There are some Bible verses that describe the apparent lack of resolve on our part to live as God's people and as God's children, and the voice of God's heart that seem to make up for this lack. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 8. "You have neither heard nor understood. From of old your ears have not been opened. Where do I know how treacherous you are? You were cold rather from birth." God chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the Israelites to be his people, to be his children. And God did not choose them because they would never betray him, but because he knew that all of them would betray him before they were even born, and yet he made them his people and his children. It is not only the Israelites, but all of us humans. We are the one who betray God and don't even realize that we have betrayed him. But instead of loving and forgiving, we judge others, justify ourselves, and say we are educated, experienced, and Christian while acting like good children. God is not going to admit that we don't listen or that we are ignorant. But he is ready to make us holy and without and blameless before God in Christ, even though he knows that we are 100% sure to betray him by becoming kings and owners of ourselves. The extent of his resolve is such that he himself would be betrayed, trampled, spun up, slapped, whipped to a body pulp, and crucified to death with cruelest, longest, deepest, and faintest physical pain of any method of capital punishment ever devised by man. He was prepared to die on a cross, the most cruel, The longest, the deepest, and the most painful of all death penalty methods. With this kind of determination, God has chosen us in Christ to be holy and without blemish before Him. But it's not for us, it's for God. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 9 through 11. For my own name's sake, I drain my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. See, I have refined you. Though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. How come I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. God saved people with the intention of showing them as a matter of course fact that God is God, that a loving God is a loving God, that a faithful God who will not break the promises He has made but will surely accomplish them is faithful God. Even though our salvation is a free salvation, we try to use it to show the righteousness of who we are, to boast in ourselves. Instead of being humble, loving others, and loving God because of our salvation, before we believe in Jesus Christ, we lived to boast in ourselves, and after we believe in Jesus Christ, we used their faith, our faith, to boast in ourselves. We think that we have a weapon of salvation, God who created the heaven and the earth, Jesus Christ, who is rich in love, and the Word of God, which gives us a lofty, high, sophisticated, and prestigious impression. And we try to show ourselves and others how right we are by hurting people with that weapon. Reading the Gospel, you will see that the people who boast, "Our father is Abram," Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, God can raise up the son of Abram out of these stones." Questioning the pointless of holding on to worthless, stony pride in the name of faith. "I'm a pastor. I have a long history of faith. I'm a first, second, third, fourth, and fifth generation Christian with not only a long history of faith, but also a long history of education, employment, and family background. I'm older than you. I'm young. I'm a father. I'm a mother with a child. We are the one who, in name of faith, boast about everything. And instead of emphasizing, accepting, understanding, forgiving others, we look down on them, judge them, and perceive the superiority that comes from that as faith. That is why God gives us His attributes of holiness and blameless as grace. Not for our sake, which sometimes lead us to try to change God's pride into our own pride, but ultimately for His own sake, and He will freely lead us to fulfill the content of His grace. Salvation is not for us, but ultimately for God. The fact God is God, through making us sinners, who would surely betray Him, holy and blameless before Him, is a natural manifestation of His divine nature. No more natural than It is natural for the sun to rise in the east. Herein lies our glory. God, who alone is the honor and source of the glory that cannot be contained by anything above or below, in heaven and on earth, in all things and in all the universe, has willed to show his glory by saving us and perfecting our salvation. He has decided that he himself will not acknowledge his glory except by making us heirs, companions, and cohabitants of his glory, in whom we are. Here is our glory. Our glory is not because we are good or because we have done something or because we have won a competition or because we have broken through something or because we have discovered something. Our true glory is in the fact that God has brought us in his glory. But here is the biggest problem, that is our understanding of the magnificence of God's glorious work of salvation to make us holy and blameless, which was accomplished out of resolve that is beyond anything we can possibly estimate, is unstoppably shallow. So it is for this greatest of problems that Paul prays. Letter to Ephesians, chapter 1. I keep asking that, letters to Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 17. I keep asking that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength. The reason why we need to pray like this, this is not only because we don't understand what it means to be holy and blameless before God. But it is also not our purpose or goal as believers. Even after we are saved and become Christians, we do not measure our faith in terms of seeking and following God's will, but in terms of how many wishes come true, how much more we want, how many children go to good college, how much things go our way, and how much we are healed. Or we try to measure our faith only by our religious action, such as how hard we read the Bible, how selflessly we prayed, or how diligently we served. To put it more simply, we make the ultimate goal of our faith to be happiness and joy here on earth. However, the eternal purpose and goal that God chose for us in Christ before the foundation of the world was laid is to make us holy. Holiness is God's goal and purpose. God did not save us to make us happy on earth or to please us, but to make us holy. He saved us not to make us happy on earth or to please us, but to make us holy. More specifically, he drives and guides us to be holy. Not understanding this is the biggest reason for failure in our life of faith. If we don't understand this, we will keep stumbling and falling in faith, and we won't ever try to get up with the Lord. That's enough. Because God's purpose is holiness, He may throw us into the washing machine and spin us. There are times when He frustrated us and breaks us in order to get rid of our vain and empty desire. There are times when we are made to go through storms that seem far from happy and joyful, and where no light shines at all. Of course, He heals us and comforts us so that we don't remain frustrated. When we do well, He will praise us, "Well done, my faithful servant." When we do well, He will praise us, "Good job, faithful servant." When we do badly, God must intervene to remove useless wishes and thoughts. This is because there are not enough Christians who are willing to live holy life, just as there are not enough children who are willing to study. There is no one who will listen without being scolded, without getting angry, without making mistakes. Everyone is afraid of, "Oh, I'll get angry," or "I'll make a mistake," so they change their mind. This is how human beings are, to the extent that when God led descendants of David, He said, I will rid them with a rod and whip, chastising them. Then, for the first time, people will seek to be holy. You may think that such a passive motive is not enough, but we are not smart or strong. But we are not that smart or strong. We are afraid that God will scold us and put us in the washing machine again. It is wise to quit misbehaving out of fear of "God will scold me if I do this." It's not weakness and fear, but discernment to not take a drink instead of saying, "Don't be so weak that the priest will catch you." If we all cross the red light, there is nothing to be afraid of, and we cross the intersection with cars whizzing by. You are not fearless, you are not sensible. Fear is not a bad thing. Genuine fear is sensible. Dr. Paul Tony, a Swiss psychiatrist, said, "God has planted fear in our heart to bring us back to Him and to make us realize how pitiful and wretched we are." The discernment of the fear of God leads one to decision to turn towards holy way of life. So what does the Bible mean by holy? I mentioned before that holy means distinguished. The distinction was made from the self-centered life, where the goal of life was to enjoy the happiness and joy that world teaches us on earth, using time, space, possessions, the body, all for ourselves. Through the restoration and normalization of our relationship with God, praising God, seeking God's will, and offering ourselves to God as means to do in order that God's grace, glory, and mercy may be done. Jesus is the embodiment of this holiness. of the restoration and normalization of our relationship with God. The praise of God, the desire to seek God's will, and the desire and attitude to offer ourselves as a means to God for His grace, glory, and mercy to be done. So, what is it that Jesus embodied? Love. So, what is love? Let's see. Letter to Corinthians, First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus was forgiving, kind, and not jealous of us who had become useless, who were not wise, not strong, not cunning, not cowardly, not mature, not destructive, who hurt people more than we love them, who saw people as tools rather than characters, who used people as stepping stones, who used people for their own pleasure, and who were disconnected from God. He did not boast that he was God or holy, nor did he become proud, but said he was better than us, that he was precious, and showed courtesy to such helpless people. He shared all of his benefits with us, reassured us that we would be obeyed instead of being annoyed, embraced us, spit on us, slapped us, and never let the evil that we didn't even know we had crucified Jesus with our own hands get to us. He was patient with all our wickedness and greed, believing and even hoping. This is love, and love is the body of holiness. God has decided to transform us into people who live in this love. Love is the goal, the purpose, the most valuable thing in life. Love is the goal, the purpose, and it drives us to be the one who practice it. When we experience the great value and joy of love practiced under pressure, we want to love of our own, our will, following Jesus' example, practicing love, and living in love. In this way, we see life as a place to practice that love. We make it our daily goal to practice love, and not to say, he's not good enough, this person is wrong, the person in front of me is wrong. Instead, we practice and realize in gratitude that I'm not good, I'm bad, because I don't think like the person, because I don't get along with that person. And we practice changing the thoughts that make us want to ask, please let me be the only one who is holy and blameless. This is what it means to be holy and the purpose of God's salvation. We did not come out to this loving and holy place by our decision, and we will soon stand before God as holy people without blemish, regardless of what we think. Our holiness as Christian doesn't mean that we do not sin, nor does it mean that we are intellectual, It is about character, about the character of a person. It is about loving God and loving people. God the Father is the one who makes the sunrise and the rainfall today on the wicked and good. God says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It's still working without sleep or slumber to provide compassion and grace all people, everything one of them, and is pleased to save them. Let's pray. Dear God, you give us grace even though we 100% betrayed you, but you love us. Please mercy on us. You make us holy and blameless before you. In Christ, please help us to practice love. We can love people. We can love you. Please help us. We praise your name. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.